I have got a message this morning, and it's called Take a Risk. We've been talking about taking a risk. And the title of my message is Take a Risk, Ask for Directions. Now, women, wives, do not be nudging your partners. How many girls, don't put your hands up, who have a partner go, oh, I'll just go this way. And there's always arguments in the car, isn't there? Because men hate asking for directions. Well, I'm talking to you specifically today. No, I'm not. But I want to ask you today is take a risk and ask for directions. Has anyone here ever gotten lost? Anyone ever gotten lost? In a car, walking, anyone? Okay, let me ask the question again. Who has never gotten lost in their life? Oh, Ben. It's because you're... is that because you're... That's what I want to talk about. I've got a photo here, and my daughter Sarah and I, we started earlier this year, the Cape to Cape Walk. Has anyone ever heard of the Cape to Cape Walk? You walk from one lighthouse to another down south. So we started this quite a few months ago, and then Pastor Nigel and I had to go on a retreat, a pastor's retreat, earlier in the year, about May, and I thought, oh, Sarah and I had gotten so far, and I thought to myself, oh, I'll just do a little bit more. So the plan was that Nigel and I had was that he would go for a really quick surf before the retreat started and I would go for a walk. However, if you've ever been down south, there is, and actually now I know that someone's written a book because the directions that the tourist bureau give you are so bad that they must actually promote people getting lost. And so the map that I had was just ridiculous. I thought, I know, I'll follow my nose and I'll be fine. If I just stick to the coastline, I'll keep going on this walk. So Nigel had gone off and we'd made a plan. Yes, Roy and Jane, who are in the police department, who are always looking for lost people, I'm sure. We did have a plan, and that plan was if I didn't come back, please look for me after about 2 hours. He would know that something had happened. So off he went. He went to, this is actually part of the walk that I did, and he went off for a surf. But little did we know, we did know that the weather conditions, I wasn't that irresponsible. The weather conditions that night was supposed to be changing to a severe weather warning. It was going to be one of our worst storms that had hit Perth and down south for that period of time. And later on in the retreat, we actually had flooding, which I've never had experienced down south, but the weather turned really nasty. I could see the clouds coming in as I started off on my walk, but I didn't have wet weather gear. I just sort of had, your walking gear, stuff that you'd go out walking around here. I set off and I started down this track, and then I started on a path which became a track, which became scrub, which became nothing. And the thing was that I've got this terrible, terrible flaw in my character is that I've always, for as long as Nigel's known me, I'll just go to that next hill. I just want to see over that next hill. So I thought, I'll just go around the bend and I'm sure that I'll join up with this path. Now, unfortunately, I'm the kind of person who loves to watch Midsummer Murders and crime movies, and I kept thinking, I'm going to get murdered out here. No one knows I'm out here. They'll be able to chuck the body and bury the body, and no one will know that I'm here. My mind starts playing games on me. I'm thinking, where is this path? It's gone. In the end, I'm climbing over boulders. The wet weather has started to come in. It's slippery. I'm cold. My nose is running. And I get up over the headland, and I thought, this is ridiculous. I can see a settlement a bit further down of a few houses. Now, I've lived in Perth most of my life and been down south, but I did not have a clue where these houses were. So I thought, okay, then what I'll do is I'll make for the houses. So I came down over the headland through this scrub and got down, and I got to look like a car park. I thought, awesome, finally, thank you, I've got civilization. I'll just follow it around. As I'm following it, it stops, and there's 4 different directions you can take. I went, you've got to be kidding me. Okay, I'm a smart, intelligent woman. I'll just follow the one that takes you to the settlement. I do not know how I ended up in a vineyard. I do not know how. This is the Cape to Cape walk. You walk basically along the coast. I thought, I'm lost. I'll turn around. I'll go a different way. I went past these abandoned houses. I went, this is far too scary for me. And then I thought, I am so totally and completely lost. How can I be lost somewhere in Dunsborough or Yallingup. It is not possible to be lost. So then I thought, well, I'm more sensible. I will just go towards the road. There's got to be a road somewhere. There's no road. I never found the road. It is pouring with rain. The wind is blowing. My nose is running. I'm drenched and I thought, I'm lost. Do you know what was interesting? I do not know when I became lost. There was not a line in the road that said, you are officially lost. Who has ever felt like that? Who has ever been driving along and going, what point did I become lost? What point did that path not become a path? When did that path, and do you know what the sneaky thing is about getting lost, is that the path is pretty sneaky. It will just start to go a little bit off direction. And before you know it, you were over there, but now you're here. Now you and I know that in geography, we all can get lost. But I want to say to you today, I do not know how many people in life do not apply the same principles. You see, we can be going down a path and have every intention going one way, but end up a different way. We can see it when we go driving, but we often don't see it in our life. You see, it's very, very subtle when the path starts to gradually go off, that it's not until we are way down the path that we look back and go, I'm lost. So this morning today, I want to say to you is take a risk, ask for directions. No matter what point you are at in your life, there is plenty of opportunity for you to get back on to the right path. You see, this is something absolutely profound. Whatever path you're on will determine where you end up. That was profound, wasn't it? You're all just going, oh my goodness, Andrea. That university, that's just, you know, whatever path you're on will determine where you end up. You see, you don't end up where you intended to go. The path will determine your destination. We've got some PowerPoints, actually, if you'd like to start on those. You see, we can always have great intentions. And as obvious as this statement is, we all get it when it relates to geography, but it's my observation that we don't get this point when it comes to other areas of our lives, such as our relationships, our finances, our spiritual walk with God, raising children, going to work, university, dating. You see, the same principle applies to all areas of our lives. Your direction will determine your destination. And furthermore, it's your direction, not your intention, that will determine your destination. You see, I had intended to reach the settlement, but I ended up in a vineyard. Now you're all going, oh, well, that's pretty obvious. But you know, today we're going to have a look at the area of paths in our life. And you know, you're all on a path right now. You're on some path. You're on a path of dating. Some of you are dating at the moment and you're on a pathway of dating. You know, you're on a financial pathway. You may not even agree, but you are. You're on a financial pathway. If you get money, you're on a pathway. You're on a pathway with your marriage. You may not realize it, but you are. You're on a professional pathway. Education. You're actually on a health pathway. What you're eating is determining the path that you're on. And above all else, you're on a spiritual pathway. Whether you believe in God today or you don't believe in God, you are still on a pathway either to God or away from Him. And so your direction, not your intentions, not your dreams, not your hopes, not your plans, not your beliefs, they will ultimately determine your destination. You see, I could walk out here today and I could pack up. I could decide that I'm going to go skiing over the holidays. I can't ski, but I have been to a ski resort and I sat by the fire and drank hot chocolate because I ain't going out on those ski slopes. Too cold, messy for me. But I could decide that I'm going to go to Mount Buller in Victoria. Now, Mount Buller in Victoria is east. So I could pack up my gear, jump in my car, but I could head north. I could go up the Great Northern Highway, and guess what? I won't end up at Mount Buller. I'll end up in Geraldton. Geraldton's a nice place. I like Geraldton. But there's no ski slopes in Geraldton. You see, I have to determine where I'm going to go. And I often see a great disconnect with people and where they want to end up and the path that they've chosen. And each one of you have as well. You've had a friend come to you or a family member or a work colleague, and they've said to you, this is the situation in my life. And you've listened to the story, and the story's been painful, and there's been a lot of despair. And if they know Christ, a lot of times as a pastor, I hear people that are angry with God. How could God have allowed that to happen in my life? And yet you and I have all sometimes, we've all stood there and gone, but what were you expecting? Because the path that you've taken was never going to lead you to the destination you wanted. And so we have to recognize that we have to choose the path to get the right path to where we want to go. And that the path will take you exactly where it was meant to take you because of the choices you've made. See, the truth of the matter is it's the choices you are making, not the intentions or the dreams. And the choices you are making will determine the direction that you take. We're going to look at a story today. You bet you've never read this one. It's in Proverbs 7. It's about the crafty harlot. Probably should have got the youth to stay in for this one. Oh, sorry. Oh, dear. Come with me to Proverbs 7, verses 6 to 27. Now, it is quite a long story, and I'm going to read it to you. We could go to Proverbs 7. This is a story, and it's written by King Solomon. Now, we don't know if it's an actual story, but you and I will, as we read it, you will realize that there is a lot of situations where people have found themselves in similar to this. Proverbs 7, verses 6 to 27. At the window of my house, I looked down through the lattice. So you can imagine the story already. The storyteller is someone almost like standing in a hotel room. If you ever stood in a hotel room and looked down on the world down below, and you're seeing everyone, and you're seeing what's going on down here and what's going on down there. Have you ever sat somewhere and you've watched something and you can almost see like an accident about to happen or a collision or a problem and you're thinking, it's almost like you want to reach out and go, stop, stop. If you keep going that way, you're going to hit that car. Have you ever watched an accident in slow motion? Well, this is an accident happening in slow motion. And the storyteller Solomon is telling a story. He said, I saw among the simple, I noticed among the young men a youth who had no sense. Now, let me qualify that by saying that if we actually look at it, and we won't for time, but if we actually went through and looked at the original language, it was not a stupid young person, but a person who lacked sense. I have a son who was 18, nearly 19. He lacks sense. Let me qualify that. Because he doesn't have the same life experience that I do. It is not a fault of his. It is just the result of his youth. The older he gets, the more sense he will have. But the writer is saying that this is a young person who doesn't have the experience of this older storyteller. So we're seeing a story told by a wiser old man relating to a younger man. So the wiser old man is saying, this young man, he lacks sense in this area. Young people, I'd love to say to you today, listen to your parents. Sometimes we have great advice. Listen to your parents. Oh, but you don't understand. My mum, she is so embarrassing. Oh, I would listen to my dad, but he dresses so daggily. How on earth could I take him seriously? Listen. Your parents do have good advice. However, parents, I'll qualify that by saying our job is not to tell our children, our job is to teach our children. My son doesn't want to be told, he wants to be taught. And the easiest way to get someone's back up as a young person is to try and tell them what to do. They want to be taught what to do. So he was going down the street near her corner, walking along the direction of her house. This woman was known to him. At twilight, as the day was fading, as the dark of night set in, often that can be an analogy in the Bible for things not being seen in the day can often mean to coming into a situation where not good. Then out came a woman to meet him, dressed like a prostitute and with crafty intent. Didn't say she was a prostitute, but she was dressed obviously very seductively. Verse 11, she is unruly and defiant. Her feet never stay at home. Now in the street, now in the squares, at every corner she lurks. Verse 13, she took hold of him and she kissed him. And with a brazen face she said, today I fulfilled my vows and I have food from my fellowship offering at home. And we don't understand that. What she was actually saying was, you know what, in the Old Testament time, you would go to the church or the temple and you would give money to God as an offering, or you would give a dove, or you would give an animal as an offering to say to God, God, I recognize that I have done wrong. Sin, some interpretations would say. And so what I'm going to do is I'm standing here acknowledging that, and I'm asking God for your forgiveness. That was the Old Testament process. So she is saying to him, hey, my slate's clean. Hey, I can fill it up now because, you see, my slate's clean. You see, that's bad theology. You know, many times people can think that God's grace and God is gracious, he will forgive you of anything. But often the Apostle Paul says that we think that gives us license to do the wrong thing because God will forgive us. And she's saying that here. She goes, hey, I've done my dues. I've gone to the temple. I've made right with God. Now my slate's clean, so let's bring it on, baby. We can fill it up until I go to the next time I have to go to the temple. She's saying, I have food from my fellowship offering at home. She's saying, I'm not after your money, young man. I'm not a prostitute. I'm just a beautiful, desirable woman. This is a great message to husbands and wives right there. I'm a beautiful, desirable woman. Why didn't you just come into my house and let's have a meal together? You know, on the very few occasions that I have had to go out and meet with other men, I've actually told my husband and gone to a cafe where I know the owners and made sure that I've said hello to the owner and introduced my guest because I want to stay married and I do not want other people to get the wrong impression. That's wisdom. So she said to him, I came out to meet you. I looked for you and I found you. I've covered my bed with the colored linens from Egypt. Verse 17, I perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes and cinnamon. Come, let's drink deeply of love till morning. Let's enjoy ourselves with love. You see, my husband's not at home. He's gone on a long journey. He took his purse, he filled it with money and will not be home till full moon. She's saying, baby, we've got a month of naughtiness ahead of us. Come into my house and we can do what we like. When we like, you can sleep over because he's not coming home. We've got a month. With persuasive words, she led him astray. She seduced him with her smooth talk. All at once, he followed her. I love this, verse 22. Like an ox going to the slaughter. All the guys are, phew. Like a deer stepping into a noose till an arrow pierces his liver. Like a bird darting into a snare, little knowing it will cost him his life. What language Solomon is using. He's basically saying, this young man does not realize that he is walking into a death trap. In verse 24, then he tells, the storyteller changes. He says, now then, my sons, listen to me. Pay attention to what I say. Verse 25, do not let your heart turn to her ways or stray into her paths. Many are the victims she has brought down, her slain a mighty throng. Her house is a highway. So we've got a path now going to an M2 highway to the grave, leading down to the chambers of death. Have you ever read that one before? Never done that in church. So Solomon's telling us a story. You see, the young man doesn't have the life experience to realize that his decision is not an event, it's not a here and now, it's actually determining his tomorrow. If we could go to the next slide. He would think, no, I'm just living in the moment. That's the foolishness of youth, isn't it? It's not realizing that the decisions that we make will determine our future. It's not realizing that, you know, life is not about an event. It's about choices that will lead us a certain way. And so the storyteller's telling us that this is a pathway, and the result of it is that he will ultimately have to pay that price. You know, you and I will ultimately have to pay the price for choices that we've made of the paths that we've decided to go on. In Proverbs 27, verse 12, this is a fantastic scripture. And this is another slide. It says, a prudent person foresees the danger ahead and takes precautions. The simpleton goes blindly on and suffers the consequences. You see, the paths that we're on are moving. The decisions that you're making in your relationships are moving. Just as this young man was seduced into thinking that this would be a wonderful romance. He did not realize the consequences of the decisions that he was making. You and I, unless we recognize that there are consequences to some of our decisions, some of our choices will lead us down paths that are not good for us. And so what Proverbs 27 is saying is that wise people recognize that they are on the wrong path and are prepared to do something about it. A wise person, a prudent person, they will foresee that if I do that, it's going to lead to that. And they take precautions. What are some of the precautions that we can take? Think about it. There's an old saying that says the height of insanity is to do the same thing and expect a different outcome. We need to be taking precautions about what we do in our life. We need to be thinking about some of the choices that we're making. Here's five things that can occur. We could go to the next slide. Five things that can occur and that we need to do to take action if we're going down the wrong path. Firstly, you've got to take action. You have to do something. You have to choose. I was saying just quickly, Janelle and I were having a quick chat in the foyer. I remember years ago, I used to moan a lot about Christmas time. I didn't like Christmas. And I just found it a very stressful time. And, you know, I don't know if anyone else does, but I just didn't like it. And my husband has got a great saying he lives by, and he is always nailing me on this. He said, Andrea, stop being a victim. He said, you've got the capacity to change your life. If you don't like something, change it. And, you know, often we don't want to do the acting. We want to do the complaining. We want to complain about something. It can be complaining about our place of employment or lack of friendship, or it can be, you know, that your husband or your wife is not treating you as well as they could be. But, you know, are we prepared to act? We have to do something if we're going to change our path. Secondly, it's going to require sacrifice. You know, it's going to cost you something to change. It's going to hurt you. What is it that you may need to think about that for a moment it may hurt? I don't know about you, but I've been on a few diets. Oh, they're awful, aren't they? You know, starting an exercise regime, it hurts. The sacrifice that's involved in not eating that chocolate that's sitting in the cupboard for the Rocky Roads for Christmas. I mean, the sacrifice required. You know, you may suffer embarrassment. We live in a world today where image is a big thing, where people want to be perceived of having it all together, that you've got a great marriage, you've got, you know, plenty of money in the bank, you can go out and do whatever you want to do. You know, you may suffer embarrassment if you want to change pathways. It may mean that you will have to acknowledge that, hey, guys, we're going to go and see a marriage counselor. Or I've got an anger problem that will not be resolved. I need to go and see a counselor for a season. What is it, a path? You know, the short-term embarrassment that you may feel for a while. What is it that's worth fighting for? What about quitting? We're in a generation where it's just too hard. You know, quitting is just everybody's middle name. You know, one of the fruits of the Spirit is perseverance. that God wants to build perseverance into your character, that trials will produce perseverance, the Bible says, that through that it will give you the capacity to handle more, the scripture says. But we want to quit. You know, we're going down a pathway of financial destruction, and sometimes we just want to keep going down that pathway instead of going, no, I'm going to curb my spending. I'm going to start a budget. No, I'm actually going to write down everything I spend. And we don't want to do that. So we'd rather quit and have the easy way. I love this scripture. This has actually been in my journal this year in James 5:11b. It says, what a gift life is to those who stay the course. What a gift life is for those who stay the course. I just find that such interesting language. What a gift life is to those who stay the course. It's not saying that life will be easy staying the course, but it's saying it'll be a gift. Because what precious things will you uncover as you choose not to quit? I've observed just recently, I had coffee with someone this week and I actually said to them, you know, I'm a bit thick. I've been a Christian nearly 40 years. I'm still a bit thick. And sometimes it takes me, and if you don't believe in God today, look, I absolutely respect your view. But you, I would think, would also concede with me that there seems to be evil out in our world. That there seems to be things that happen that aren't good. In church, we would say that that is the result of a fallen world, and through, we believe that there is a devil who has, the Bible says he's come to make life very miserable for God's people, that the devil doesn't want us to have our best life. God wants us to have our best life. So I was saying to this person having coffee this week, I was saying, you know, I'm a bit thick sometimes, that sometimes I don't recognize that the devil, because I've grown up with theology not believing that the devil's behind every door, that he's not under my bed and he's not in my cupboard and he's not. I believe very much as Christians we walk a victorious life. That God has given us the all authority and power, and that same power that raised Christ from the dead works within me. So I'm not going around fearful. But sometimes we do need to recognize that there is mischief in our world, that we can be fighting in our families, and it just seems to be what is going down here. Or there can be problems in our marriages, and we can think, what is it? Or we can be having a relationship or a friendship that's strained and things get distorted. And you can be going to yourself, this just does it. This is just not good. What's going on? So I was saying to this person, you know, it's taken me a while to sometimes realize that it can be the devil making mischief. And there are times as Christians that we just need to make a stand and we just need to say to the devil, you just better back off because I'm not quitting. I'm not quitting on my marriage. I'm not quitting on my kids. I'm not going to quit on my job, even though my boss is a prat. I'm not going to quit. I'm going to stand, because if I stand, then my God says that I'm going to have the gift of great life. And we need to say that. We need to put the devil back where he belongs. And my Bible says it's under my foot he's been crushed. Come on, guys. We are seeing a season of some of the greatest miracles our church has ever seen. Some of the most greatest stories that God is doing. Do you really think that we're not going to have a fight on our hands? Do you really think that there's not going to be problems when Jess gets and says to her friend, I'm going to pray for your dying husband. There's not going to be flack. And we need to wake up and realize that we have got a path that God has set us on, and we can choose to get on that path, and we can sometimes we're going to go this way and we're going to go, okay, I better get back that way. And you know, the best thing to do is we need to recognize that there's mischief going on and go, you know what? Nige, my husband has a great saying. He says, right, can't do anything about that. Just going to keep going forward. Can't change what that's just happened there. Can't change that, but God, guess what? We're just going to keep going forward. We've got to not quit. You see, the path of our lives is moving. I've known Christians that have stopped. They refuse to go forward. Sometimes they don't even want to go backwards, and they're stuck. Even being stuck is moving. Can you believe that? Because stuck, being doing nothing, is still moving because life is going around you, ahead of you, going past you. so we don't quit because the rewards will far outweigh the temporary discomfort. You know, Charlie and Helen started this church with us. And, I mean, how many times could we have quit? I mean, come on. Probably we've gone from daily to weekly. We went from monthly to yearly. Now we review it every, we're coming up for 20 years. You know, we'll sit down and have a review. Just kidding. But come on. Lastly, relief. You will feel a sense of relief that you changed course, that you got onto a different path if you needed to, or you corrected the path, you healed it, you got the pothole of hurt and unforgiveness and you healed it, you filled it up with love. You're glad you started a budget. You're glad you apologized to your family member. You're glad you didn't quit studying, but you kept going. You're glad you stopped blaming God for taking the wrong path and said, God, would you draw me? You know, that old scripture I learned in Sunday school was trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your path. God will direct it. Even if you're on the wrong path, my God, he can use it. Even if today you're going, I have made some big mistakes. I have said some stupid things. I have done some bad investments. I have done things that I should never have done. You know what? It's not too late. It's not too late. And those of you, if there's time to make changes, can I encourage you? You will feel a sense of relief as you do that. So I want to ask you a question. I've got an overhead for this. That was a bit like the path at the end. Have you ever gone along a path and it goes like that? Nigel and I did part of it when we were down south, didn't we, Dale? It was ridiculous. We were climbing over trees. We thought we were just like Bear Grylls. I want to ask you a question today, leave you with a thought. What obstacles are in your way? What obstacles are in the way of your path? Is it pride? Andrew, I couldn't tell anyone that I've made mistakes and need to make changes. Is it shame? A lot of cultures use that word shame. They feel a sense of shame. Is it fear? People are frightened, embarrassed. You lack the motivation. Maybe it's even attitudes today. You see, we can be on the wrong path with our thinking. I'm going to preach next year on a message that I believe that finally God has set me free from, and that is discouragement. I just have had such a breakthrough this year with just getting in certain areas where I've been discouraged. God's just really done something. You know, discouragement. We can get discouraged. You know, discouragement will eventually take you onto a different path because we'll stop hoping. We'll stop believing God. What about our thinking? Doesn't it? Our thinking will reflect in our attitudes. Do we need to change our thinking? What is it that you think? You think you're a failure? You think that no one likes you? Do you think that God doesn't love you? Do you think that you're stupid or useless or hopeless? Change the path today. Change the path. What path is it that you need to get on? Dig out those big rocks. Make the path easier. In conclusion, you know, over the coming weeks, we've got our Christmas services. And the majority of our society are on a path that doesn't include God. They need us to show them their best life. That God, through Christ, has a pathway for them. And so I want to leave you with a question. Will you take action today? Will you take a risk and invite someone to church? All you've got to do is get them here. It's up to God and them. But would you do that? Would you recognize that even though that there are areas in your life that need adjusting and shifting and changing, that there is a society that is really, really struggling with the pathway that they've chosen, and that coming to know Christ would radically change their path. They would be going on a pathway to knowing God. Can we pray this morning? Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you today that, Father, that all of us, God, you're going to direct our paths. That every person here, Lord, we all know and recognize as mature, responsible Christians that we have areas in our life that we need to be working on. That, Father, that while we may have our finances in order, we may not have all our relationships. Why, God, our work may be blossoming, there may be challenges in our friendships. Why, Father God, that while everything may be going well, that, God, spiritually, we're not on a great path. Father, today I pray that you would, through your Holy Spirit, right now speak to people. Father, I just want to bring encouragement into people's world. Father, I pray that through your Spirit right now, where people have been discouraged that they've gone too far a certain way, that there is always hope. God, that you will never stop loving us, that you will never stop reaching out to us, that, Father, as long as we have breath, there is opportunity to change. So, God, I pray today, as people just sit here with just this last moment, they would just say, God, what is it? It may even just be a phone call to someone. It may be saying, hey, I'm sorry. I've caused offense. It may be that you just need to forgive someone today. Maybe that there's a challenge you've been having with a bad attitude about life. You're going to nail that sucker. You're going to say, I am choosing today. I'm choosing a different pathway of thinking. Father God, I just pray you'll bless your people today. And just right now, if there's anyone here that just feels that they started on a pathway that is leading them not to God, but away from God, I would just love to pray with you. I would love to invite you to know God better. Maybe you've been coming to church and there's been a lot of anger towards God, a lot of disappointment, discouragement. I would just love to pray with you. You know, God is so gracious. He is so quick to forgive. He is so quick to just, he's never left us. He's waiting to just reconnect with you. So I'm just going to ask you to do something, and I'm not intending to embarrass you, but you know, if you want to change that path, I said you need to take action. You need to do something to initiate the change in your world. So if you want to connect back to God in a deeper way, in a closer way, maybe you don't even know much about God, but today, you know, it's about starting the conversation, about starting the connection back with God. I need you to act. If you want that, I talked about that scripture about your best life. If that's what you want, I want you just to give me a wave. Just give me a wave. Just, I'm only looking. Everyone's got their eyes closed. Is there anyone here at all? Just give me a wave. Anyone at all? It says, Andrew, I just need to reconnect back with God. I need to accept Christ into my life today. I want him to take leadership over that. Is there anyone at all? I'm just going to give it an extra moment. Not here to embarrass you, but want to give you that opportunity. Awesome. Thank you, God. Anyone at all? Fantastic. Father, I pray right now you will do a healing work. A healing work. Father, even if, God, everyone's great, life is perfect, Father, I pray that you would today speak to your church about maybe getting some obstacles out of the path so they can even just make room to connect with unchurched people, to love their friends and their family. Father, to get a heart for people that are, we all see it all around us, people that aren't doing life well. Father, I pray that even if we just get a heart that says, come with me, let me show you a better way of life. I pray that we would all find time in our busy lives to do that. That God, that we would just prioritize it, Father. Lord, I thank you for this amazing people. I pray that they're going to have an awesome week. I pray they're going to live in victory, Father. I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.